Before I get started, I just wanted to share a memory of Martha. I remember after I preached my first sermon, got through it, and after the service was over, she came up to me and said, with that smile that she always had on her face, you preached out of the Old Testament. Henry used to preach out of the Old Testament a lot too. And then she just gave me some encouraging words, and yeah, I will never forget her smile. She always had a big smile on her face. While Mom and Dad were singing that song, I just got a picture of her in a boat crossing over a river with Jesus at the helm. And it's just amazing how the love of Jesus, he will guide us every step of the way. He has conquered death. He knows the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. It was the evening of January 2nd when a husband and wife were in the study of their newly moved-in house, putting together a bookshelf. The husband's one-track mind was fully focused on the task at hand. The wife, being faithful and supporting him, stood close by, handing him screws and reading the assembly instructions. But suddenly, she takes a pause. Her concentration breaks from the book, and she feels a strange sensation coming from her body. This would be the beginning of a long-fought battle. The baby was coming. The next 18 hours would be measured not by minutes, but by contractions. After seeing Carrie handle labor like a champ and watching her continually call upon God for strength, on January 3rd, I was able to see Leo for the first time. At that moment, a wave of different emotions just washed over me. Love, relief, excitement, thankfulness, and awe. God had made the next step in our family. And 2 weeks ago, we had our baby dedication. We had a baby dedication for Leo. And as I watched my parents and my grandparents come up to the front, I was just so blessed by family. And not just my family, but the idea of family. Family is so awesome, and there's no way that it could be man's idea. There are a few things that have had more impact on you than your family. It's what shaped you during your growing up years. From your parents, you naturally learned what to prioritize and where you ought to spend your time and energy. The Bible recognizes family as a core unit. It's part of God's structure that He put in place. Family was not man's idea, it was God's. I searched in the Bible. I looked up how many times is the word family or families used. And it's almost 300 times. But then I thought, to take it a step further, what if I would look up the individuals that make up a family? Things like father, mother, son, daughter, brother, sister, husband, and wife. One thing I thought was interesting, I was looking at the terms in the King James Version. When I looked up the word brothers, it wasn't used once. I was really confused. But then I realized that the plural form of brothers in the King James Version is brethren. When you look up brethren, you get a lot more results. I didn't know that. But altogether, all those different nouns that make up a family are used 7,600 times in the Bible. Family is important to God. In fact, God's first covenant that he made was with Abraham, and that was that he would bless, God would bless Abraham's family and cause his family to multiply. In Genesis 12, verse 3, this was the covenant that God made to Abram, his name was Abram at that point. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. God told Abraham that his family would be a blessing to other families. Have you ever gone to somebody's house? They invite you over for a meal. And you eat the meal, and you have some good conversation. And you just watch their family, and you see how they relate to each other, and you see how they relate to you. And at the end of the evening, when it's time to go home, you sort of drag your feet. You kind of shuffle over to the door, you get your shoes on, and you get your coat, and you're slow about it. Number one, you're slow because you're tired because you stayed there way too late. But then also, you're slow because you don't want to leave. You don't want to leave because that family is such a blessing. How many of you have had that happen before? Absolutely. That's the power of a family. It's a family like that that has God. They're just attractive people who leak out that abundant life and it seeps out onto others. Family is a powerful thing. And just as powerful as it can be to build up others, it can also be powerful in the destruction of those that are within it and those that are around them. I want to go through a study of a family that we all know fairly well. It's a family in Genesis. And this family was pleasing to God, but they also had what we in the modern world would call issues. And that is the family of Abraham. In Genesis 12, verses 10 through 20, we see one of those issues in Abraham's family. Abram and his wife, Sarai, are sitting at their home in Canaan, and a famine comes, and they go down to Egypt for food. Abram knows that his wife is beautiful, and he's afraid that they might kill him, so that they can. The Egyptians might kill him, so that they can take his wife as their wife. And when he gets down to Egypt, he tells Pharaoh that it's actually his sister, and he lies. And upon Pharaoh hearing that, oh, it's Abram's sister, he then takes his wife into his house, and then God plagues Pharaoh. Pharaoh then figures out that she is actually Abram's wife and sends them away. And then 8 chapters later, in Genesis 20, we see Abraham now, his name has changed from Abram to Abraham by now. Him and his wife are in Gerar, which was south of Canaan. Abraham tells the same lie to King Abimelech. The Lord comes to Abimelech in a dream and reveals the truth to him. And King Abimelech confronts Abraham about it. And Abraham gives three reasons. Genesis chapter 20, verse 11. And Abraham said, "Because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, they will kill me on account of my wife." So the first reason that Abraham said that he lied is because, well, I'm not sure if God's going to protect me or not. The second reason is in the next verse, Genesis 20, verse 12. "But indeed, she is truly my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife." So he told a half lie, which a half lie and a half truth are both meant to deceive. It's actually what Satan used to deceive Eve telling only a half-truth. And the third reason he gives is in the next verse, "And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my house that I said to her, 'This is your kindness that you should do for me. In every place, wherever we go, say of me, he is my brother.'" So basically he said, well, we've had this arrangement for a long time. She's been told to tell people that she's my sister. So it's what we've always done. It's what we've been doing. And it's worked for us thus far. That sounds a little bit like people today when you approach them about something like, hey, I think this is wrong for you to do. Lots of times the excuse will be, well, it's the way I was raised. It's just kind of how we do things. It works for me. But sadly, Abraham's issue doesn't stop with Abraham. In Genesis chapter 26, does someone want to volunteer to read Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 3?
Say 6 or 26?
26. And then once he's done, I'll take someone, another volunteer, to read verses 4 through 7. Which chapter did you read? Chapter 26? Oh. what verse did you read to?
1 through 6.
Oh, 1 through 6. Okay. Gotcha. I'll finish reading the last couple of verses. There was just one more verse. Verse 7. "And the men of the place asked about his wife, and he said, 'She is my sister.' For he was afraid to say, 'She is my wife,' because he thought, 'Lest the men of the place kill me for Rebekah, because she is beautiful to behold.'" Isaac had the exact same tendency that his father Abraham did. And sadly, it didn't stop with Isaac. The same issue is passed down to Jacob, his son. In chapter 25 of Genesis, verse 27, we see the first description of Isaac's sons, Jacob and Esau. Verse 27 says, "So the boys grew, being Isaac's sons. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field. But Jacob was a mild man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, and Rebekah loved Jacob." So we see a division there. Isaac favoring Esau, and Rebekah favoring Jacob. And whenever you see a division between a husband and a wife, that is room for disaster. And more than likely, if mom and dad don't get along, brother and sister, or brothers and sisters, the siblings, they don't get along. In Genesis 27, we read the account when Isaac wants to give his blessing to Esau. Isaac tells Esau to go hunt Bring back some game so I can eat it, and then I will bless you." Rebekah hears what Isaac is about to do, and Rebekah goes to her favorite son, Jacob, and says, "Hey, Dad just told Esau to go and get game. Let's get you disguised as Esau so that he blesses you instead." Jacob has some second thoughts. He says, "Well, if he finds out that we're trying to deceive him, he might curse me instead of bless me." And Rebekah takes it upon herself to say, no, any curse that you get will take upon me." So Jacob does as she says. Jacob goes and gets some goats. Rebekah prepares a meal, and they take the goat skins and put it on Jacob's arms and neck so that he feels hairy like his brother Esau. Esau must have been a very hairy man. And in Genesis 27, we read the account when Jacob deceives his... Genesis 27. Yes, Genesis 27. We read the account when Jacob deceives his father. "So he went to his father and said, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here I am. Who are you, my son?' Jacob said to his father, 'I am Esau, your firstborn.'" That's lie number one. "I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit, and eat my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God brought it to me." That's lie number two. Verse 21. "Then Isaac said to Jacob, 'Please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not.' So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, 'The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau.' And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Then he said, 'Are you really my son Esau?' And he said, 'I am.'" So that's lie number three. It's very typical that when you start a lie, you end up in the same situation that Jacob did. You have to lie in order to cover up that first lie, and it just kind of keeps on building up. And sadly, this lie, this incident of lying, caused a wedge between Jacob and his brother Esau that would not get resolved for 21 years. So we see this destructive pattern of lying going down through three generations. And it didn't stop with Jacob, it continued on to his sons. Jacob then has 12 sons, and like his father, Jacob favored one of them, his son Joseph. And he expressed his favoritism towards Joseph by making him a coat of many colors. Joseph's brothers get jealous, and they plan to kill him, but then they instead sell him off to slavery. But then, after they sell him off, they have a question that they need to answer. What are we going to tell Dad when we get home? So they decide to kill a goat. And they dip Joseph's coat of many colors into its blood. I find it really amazing that the same animal that Jacob used to deceive his father, a goat, was also what was used to deceive him. It's amazing how sin, the results of sin, often come back and they cause destruction in your own family. But I want to notice someone of Jacob's sons who broke the cycle, who did not follow the same trend that his past generations did. I want to notice Joseph. Joseph, even after being betrayed by his brothers, falsely accused, forgotten in prison, he stood by the truth. Years later, after Joseph was running Egypt. His brothers came to Egypt because of a famine, asking for food. Jacob had the perfect opportunity to lie and say, these guys, these are spies, and they're criminals, lock them up. It would have been his perfect chance. And he did for a time make them, he did lock them up, but eventually he did let them go. He had mercy on them. I think he was trying to see if his brother Benjamin was still alive. But yeah, Joseph had mercy on his brothers and stood by the truth. And in Genesis 45, verse 5, this is Joseph's account when he reveals himself to his brothers, who he is. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Joseph had the perspective, an eternal perspective, and he saw God's big plan. I don't know how your family backgrounds are. I don't know what it was like for you growing up. Maybe your family has similar issues like Abraham's family did. You have some broken relationships. Perhaps there's someone who's hurt you, a parent or a sibling, or maybe you were the one who did the hurting. Or maybe there's a certain sin that has trickled down through your family's generations. Don't get me wrong, we are each responsible for our own sin, but Satan knows that what worked on mom and dad, there's a good chance it'll work on you too. The truth is that none of our families are perfect. We all have issues. Some have more hardships than others, but all are in need of a Savior. Did you know it's possible for you to be a Joseph? To be a person who mends relationships? A person who doesn't add to the family drama, but puts a stop to it. A person who is a peacemaker and sees things from God's point of view. You can be a person who chooses a better way. You know how you do that? Join a different family. I'm not saying disown your family. I'm talking about joining the family of God. Having a father who will never let you down, he'll never forsake you, a father who will show you a better way through his Holy Spirit. The Bible says he will guide you in all truth. Once you join the family of God, you will have exactly what Joseph had. Several times throughout Joseph's story, the Bible says that the Lord was with him. And when you join the family of God, the Lord is with you. You will be able to forgive the people that have hurt you. I don't say this lightly. I know that there's some people that have some really, really deep, deep wounds. Forgiveness can take a long time. But I would challenge you to ask God to start you on that journey of forgiveness and to restore the relationships within the family. Secondly, when you join the family of God, you can live in freedom from the sin that worked on your parents. There is no chain that God can't break. There is no sin that God can't overcome. You can do all things in Christ who strengthens you. Let God lead you in overcoming. You can be a Joseph. Pastor Keith, I'll let you close.